For those of you that are new to this, my name is Stephen, and I'm the worship minister here today, and I was asked to preach today, and we'll see by the end if Kevin regrets that decision. So I want to start off by telling you a story. It's a story about a young boy named Peter. Now, when Peter was very young, his parents took him to live with his aunt and uncle's house, and then they disappeared, never to be seen again. Now, his aunt and uncle had never been able to have children of their own, so they gave all their love to Peter as if he was their own child. Peter grew up and became very smart. In fact, you might say that he was too smart for his own good, because he is soon being bullied and picked on at school, just like many kids these days. He is planning on just surviving high school, you know, in the shadows, trying to avoid being shoved in his locker each day, when something incredible happened during a field trip to a bioengineering plant. You see, Peter got separated from the rest of his group and found himself looking at genetically altered spiders. What he didn't know was that one had gotten out of its glass enclosure and that it was none too happy about it. As soon as it found an area of skin to bite, it sank its fangs into Peter's hand, dying shortly after. Now Peter became very ill, and his aunt and uncle were very worried. But he bounced back the next day better than ever, and his life would never be the same from that point on. And I'll tell you another story, too. It's about a young boy who was born into a family of wealth. And from the day he was born, he wanted for nothing. Bruce lived on a huge estate surrounded by wealth, servants, and whatever his little heart desired. One day, when playing with his friends, he slipped and fell down a broken well on the estate, and he frightened a family of sleeping bats. This event was the most terrifying thing that had ever happened to this poor boy in his entire life. And while eventually he is pulled out of there, the image of those bats flying around him would stay with his nightmares for the rest of his life. Now, being a rich kid, he enjoyed many entertainments that a lot of us probably wouldn't consider entertaining, like the opera. And if you do, I'm sorry. During one such performance, Bruce convinced his parents that they should leave before the finale, and they exited out a side door. Now, waiting for them just outside was a man with a gun, camped out for this very reason, to mug those who were wealthy enough to go to the opera. And though his parents did their best to placate the man, the gun went off twice, taking the lives of both of Bruce's parents. As the mugger ran away, Bruce was left with his dying parents in a dirty alley, and after that he made a pledge that he would use all of his money and resources to rid the city of the evil criminal element that had taken root there. Now these two boys grew up to both have similar jobs. They both grew up to be superheroes. After that fateful spider bite, Peter Parker goes on to become Spider-Man, one of the most iconic superheroes of our time. And little Bruce? Well, he grew up to be Batman, the Dark Knight of Gotham, scaring would-be evildoers into submission by his terrifying presence alone. And these are just two stories out of the multitudes available from the comic book world. Now, I should follow up with that with the fact that I just love comic books. And I mean, they're fascinating to me. Whoever made the decision to take picture books and add action, adventure, and superpowers deserves a pat on the back, in my opinion. And now by this point, there are probably so many thoughts running through all of your minds. Things like, is he really talking about comic books in a sermon? Or, I can't believe how lame our worship minister is. Hopefully you're not thinking, who is the Spider-Man character he's talking about? And I bet someone in this room is thinking, why did I let this crazy kid preach? He's talking about comic books, for goodness sake. Don't worry, Kevin. There's a method to my madness. I was told once in class that I should preach about what I know. I think it went something like this. In that way, you will be able to adequately bring the congregation with you on that path that is your sermon. When choosing a leader, you don't pick someone who doesn't know the territory. So, while I would love to write a sermon that involves athletic illustrations intertwined with stories of my high school athletic achievements, I can't. Because frankly, I don't know anything about that. I mean, once during a basketball game, I did make a shot. I mean, like, legitimately sank a two-pointer. So, I don't want to brag, but we lost by 2 points less than we would have had it not been for me. It's a pretty big deal. But what I do know is comics, and I know them well. And what I've found is that no matter who the superhero is, whether it's the Incredible Hulk smashing New York or Superman saving Metropolis, all superheroes have one thing in common, and that is an origin story. Now, no hero is complete without one. It wouldn't be the same if you're reading about a character who just appeared out of thin air on the scene. I mean, what's the motivation? Where did their superpowers come from? I mean, why are they out there risking their lives every day instead of just sitting back and watching TV like the rest of us do on a Saturday? No, we need to be able to see what started it all, where it all began, to understand them. I mean, Spider-Man isn't just a man with spider powers. No, he's a young man struggling with high school and girl problems and the fact that he never knew his parents. I mean, he's a kid who's bullied through high school and had very few friends. That's Spider-Man, not the superhero swinging around New York, but the kid who was bullied. Batman was a kid who, without his origin story, probably would have grown up driving Porsches and dating supermodels and hitting up nightclubs with his other rich friends. But because of his dark past, he is a force of good in the criminal underbelly of Gotham. Every superhero has an origin story, including the greatest hero of them all. Now, origin stories can be broken down into three parts, as most sermons are. Someday someone's going to have a four-part sermon. We're not going to know what to do. The first one being their life before they got superpowers. Now, every superhero is alive before they donned the tights, before they made the decision to be a force for good, before they became a superhero. Let me tell you another story. This one's about my favorite superhero. It's found in John 1, and it begins like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, this superhero, just like all others, has an origin story. There was a time before he came to this earth to walk among us. He was a divine God ruling in a heavenly kingdom. There were angels at his beck and call. The universe was his playground. That was this superhero's beginning. Now, Peter Parker was an orphan nerd. Clark Kent grew up on a farm in Kansas. Bruce Wayne had the child every kid would want before the loss of his parents. These are their stories. But our superhero grew up among the stars. He grew up in a kingdom separated from time and space, a kingdom so far beyond our imagining that we have to equate it with every good thing we can think of, like the golden streets and, you know, always being young and good health and you never get sick there. Then he gave up that splendor and chose to come to Earth as a baby of all things, right? What a weird trip that must have been. I mean, to go from an all-powerful being who could reach across the galaxy to a child who could barely reach his foot. From a being who spat out suns to a child who could not even talk. From being the supplier of all needs to needing to be fed himself. This superhero's origin story goes back to before time, and then keeps going, and then it begins again a little over 2,000 years ago. Christmas is his origin story. Now, the second thing that all origin stories need is that moment. You know, that moment when the superhero receives their superpower. They're not just these people out there trying to fight crime without it. I mean, without their superpowers, they're just a guy in tights who's probably about to get very badly injured. Now, I know what you're thinking. What about police officers, firefighters, and those in the armed services? And you know what? You're right. They are heroes. And you know what? I tip my hat to them, and I salute them. But we are talking about superheroes. You know, the heroes with the superpowers. And there is that moment for each one of them where they gain those superpowers. And for some, it happens in a moment. For Spider-Man, it was a bite. For Hulk, it was some misplaced gamma radiation. Sometimes it takes years for them to develop their powers. Like Superman, you may not know this, started off just being able to leap really high. But then he developed that throughout the years to eventually being able to fly in outer space. Then there are characters who arguably don't have superpowers, like Iron Man and Batman, like I talked about earlier, but they use their skills and they hone them to a point where they can do things that are otherwise not thought of to be possible, which in their own way makes them super. In our superhero story, it's a little different, because our hero had infinite power at his disposal from the very beginning. Carrying on from the passage that we read earlier in John, it says, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." This was no ordinary hero. This was a hero of such power that everything that has ever been made was made through him. The very ground that we walk, that he would later walk on, was created by him. He was God, plain and simple. No superhero can even come close to that kind of power. It's power immeasurable. power beyond imagining. And then he decided to come to Earth, to be a human for our sake. We read on in John to hear that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He came as a human, his power limited by his earthly bounds. His true act of heroism was not his superpowers, but the fact that he gave them up and came down to earth. Not the story of his time as a god, but rather the story of his time as a man. Which leads us to our next point. But I need a drink of water. Every superhero origin story has a moment when they decide to use their powers for good. When they decide that they're not just going to sit idly by. They have been blessed with superpowers, therefore they must use them. For many, this can be a hard moment. For Peter Parker, it was the death of his uncle. For Bruce, it was the death of his parents. For others like Superman, they simply see the need for a hero and step up to fill that role. The hero of our story is no different. Our hero could have spent his eternal life in heaven, surrounded by the glories, looking down on his creation. Earth is no place for the creator of everything. He deserves to be in heaven. He deserves to be surrounded by glory, love, and adoration. But there was a moment where everything changed. When he could no longer sit by and watch, but had to stand and act. Sin. When sin entered the world, everything was different. The beautiful and perfect creation became stained and tarnished. Our hero could no longer sit back and enjoy his creation, because he had to act on its behalf. He had to save it from itself. This single event was a catastrophic event that threatened every person that would ever live on the planet. This was more than a meteor the size of Texas, or an alien invasion. This was the death of every person that would ever exist in history. Our hero could not sit idly by and witness this. He had to stand up and fight. Now John 1 goes on to say that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. His origin story led him back to the earth that he created, because we screwed up. Christmas is a celebration of when this superhero decided that that something must be done, when he metaphorically donned the tights and cape, when we were given hope again. Because there's nothing quite like that moment in a comic book, when the superhero first appears on the scene, right? I mean, like, when all is lost, when all hope is gone, when everything just seems helpless, then da-da-da-da! The hero arrives, and you just know, before he even does anything, that everything is going to be okay. Because this is Christmas. The moment the superhero arrives, and just like that, you know that the story has a happy ending. Before he did anything, when he was still a baby in that manger, we knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that there's a happy ending to the story. So where does that leave us? Well, luckily, as with most superhero stories, the origin story is just the beginning. This hero didn't merely come to the Earth, but he came and saved it. The origin story is always a good read, but it's what the hero does after that keeps the pages turning, keeps us longing for more. Yes, our hero's origin story is magnificent and stupendous, but it's only the beginning, and the rest of the story is even better. John 1 goes on to tell us exactly what happened, saying that to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He came to this earth to give away his birthright to us. We, the ones who screwed up in the first place, were not only given a second chance, but were given something so much better. We read about superheroes risking their lives all the time, but he came purposely to give his up. Romans 5 claims that at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, we were the damsel in distress in this story, and he died to free us, to save us from a situation that we had gotten ourselves into. He was a superhero unlike any other. Now, every superhero has a motto, it seems. Things like Spider-Man's, With great power comes great responsibility, and Superman has fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. And our hero is no different. His motto comes from Luke 19:10, where he claims that he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to this earth in human form to seek us and to save us, we, the undeserving children of a benevolent Father. Which leads us to the question, what are we doing about it? We each have our own origin story, don't we? Our origin story started the day that we were born, and each origin story is different. We call them our testimony. Now, when I was writing this sermon, and I was talking with Kevin about it, I was telling him the 3 points that I was going to use and how each point exists in our lives. And he asked me about what those points were in my life, and it gave me pause. You see, my origin story is kind of boring when you think about it. I mean, I grew up in a loving family who valued the church and biblical beliefs and the biblical morals. This led me to seek a career in ministry, which led me to a Christian college that led me to where I am today. So I started looking at these points and thinking, as much as I'm thankful for my testimony in my life, sometimes it would be kind of handy to have a more interesting testimony. You know, a convicting story about how when I was 13, I started using drugs and alcohol, and then I got into a gang and found myself neck deep in violence and crime. And then when I got pinched and landed in prison, I found the Lord, and he changed my life so drastically that there is no going back. And since that point, I've been preaching to inner city kids, trying to save them from themselves like I was once saved. See, that will move people, right? That gets them on their feet. But thankfully, that isn't my testimony. My origin story is a much more peaceful one. I grew up in a family of 5 boys and 2 loving parents. We went to church every Sunday, and I loved it. This was before my powers phase. You know, that part of the origin story is before I got the superpowers. That led to a moment when I was baptized, which was the moment I received the Holy Spirit. And from that point on, I had superpowers. That was that moment in my origin story where I was endowed with the superpowers given to me from, well, who do you think? The Lord, which makes those superpowers better than just about anyone's I can think of. And then I decided I wanted to go into ministry. Because a youth minister I had named Cody Shepherd, I could see the impact that he had on my life, and all I wanted to do was share with others. I wanted to be a youth minister just like him and help kids find the saving grace that I had known my entire life. And that was the moment where I decided that I couldn't sit idly by any longer, the moment I decided to be a force for good. So as you see, even those of us with boring testimonies still have an origin story. There are moments in each of our lives that fulfill those requirements, leading me to one final question. Has the moment where you decided to take a stand happened in your story yet? Has the moment where you decided you can no longer sit idly by while people are suffering, people that you could have saved, the final step in your origin story that will lead you to be the superhero you have been called to be, has that happened in your life? If not, maybe this can be that moment for you. Maybe this can be that catalyst that leads you to an incredible future that you've been waiting for. You don't need tights. You don't need a cape. I mean, if you want them, go ahead. That's fine. But you don't really need them. We've been endowed with superpowers that are beyond our imagining, and we've been given a mission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey everything that he has commanded us. And surely he is with us always to the very end of our age. Let this Christmas season be the end of your origin story and the beginning of your hero's journey. It might be hard, and it might be scary, but remember, we are not alone. We have been promised that he will be with us to the end of the age. We can be a light in this dark world, because our superhero is Jesus, and his light is more powerful than this present darkness. John 1 reminds us that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Stand up, real quick. Just stand up. I want you to stand up and show the dark forces that surround us that we are not mere people, but rather heroes. We serve the Lord of heaven and earth, a God of wonders beyond our imagination. We should not be scared of the prospect of heroism, but we should rather be excited about the opportunity to prove his power. Nothing can stand against us because we are guided by a light that darkness can never overcome. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we start to think of this Christmas season, Lord, and this time that you have that we have set aside, Lord, to celebrate the time when you came to this earth, Lord. We remember that that is your origin story, the story that we just thank you for every day, Lord. And we want to thank you that you made that decision to be our superhero, Lord, and to come to this earth and sacrifice everything for us, even though when we didn't deserve it, Lord. And we want to thank you that you are an incredible God who thought of us and gave us everything we ever needed to be the heroes that you called us to be, Lord. And we want to pray that you'll be with us throughout this time as we go out and fulfill that mission that you left us with, Lord. And we want to thank you that you sent your son to die on a cross, Lord. That you sent your son to be that hero that saved us all, Lord, from ourselves. To be the hero who saved us from a disease that would, in time, kill everything on this earth, Lord. A son of God who did not deserve what he got, Lord. A son of God that we did not deserve, and yet he came and he sacrificed his life for us, Lord. And we want to thank you for that every day. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.